welcome to the fourth episode of Lola Lykke's Female Changemaker series. My name is Laura and I'm the co-founder of Lola Lykke, the Finnish wellness brand for moms. Our Female Changemaker series is dedicated to individuals whose professional and personal passions have driven them to do something extraordinary, bringing sustainable positive change to women's well-being. I am joined by our very own content creator, Mana.
Hello.
And today we're doing something new. We are joined by two dads from East Helsinki, Lähiöfaijat Tomppa and Emppu. Welcome, guys.
Hello, hello.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Definitely.
Great to have you here.
It's excellent.
Yes, very cool. Actually, we wanted to have this chat with you today because for us, dads represent one of the most important parts of women's wellness. We see that men are a key part of the change that needs to happen to improve women's wellness. So this is really all about engaging with men and with fathers and them creating change for women. So what do you think about that?
What do we think about that?
No, well, most definitely it's the dad and the husband's job to also, be thinking about the well-being of the becoming mom and wife, so to speak, if it's a wife.
Yeah, a partner. I don't want to cross any bond, important boundaries here, but I think like women become moms and dads become men become dads at the same time. You know, it's a mutual process. For some, it might take a quicker leap first, and then the other part become. That person later, but other than that, I think it's a juxtaposed process.
Sorry.
I think it's really exciting now that we're taking on this new venture at Lola Lykke, including fatherhood and including fathers in the motherhood process, which is much more familiar, I feel, to us. You guys have a podcast.
Yeah.
Once a week, you upload about life, being a father, your children. How did that come about?
Yeah, well, if I take this,
yeah,
one,
you can take it
because it was kind of my brainchild. Because about a bit over a year ago, when the COVID started to close everything down and you couldn't get away from home for weeks and then for months, and walls started closing in, and I live quite nearby the studio where we were where we record our podcast. And so I started to take, I knew that Emily would be here working by himself. So there'd be no one here. So no kind of keep the risks at minimum, just meet one person, one of your friends. So I started cycling here with a couple of cans of beers and start opening about life.
Yeah.
It's not always so peaceful and quiet at home. So
you need
these outlets. So I started coming here a couple of evenings a week and just, rapping about kids and wife and family life. And then I started searching for father-related content as well from the internet. So would there be a podcast? Would there be a blog?
Did you find any?
Very little in Finnish, at least. Mm-hmm. So there are, of course, internationals, but there wasn't that much of content in Finnish. So figured that, okay, well, if we actually structure our conversations here, And put a jingle up front and then at the end, and would it be a podcast? And we kind of started trying. The first kind of tries were very poorly, but they were heartfelt. And
I guess the first ever episode is not even released.
No.
I guess we just it went to trash. It wasn't very good.
Yeah, but in the end, we just started like, okay, so now we have four episodes. Should we actually release this thing?
Yeah.
And we tried it and people started to listen to it. Other people than our wives and moms as well. And it's been a bit over a year now, and we started to connect with a lot of people, which is actually great to hear, and very kind of assuring messages we get every week. Like, yeah. Oh, you should do more of this. There should be more stuff. Okay, when somebody says that there should be more podcasts like yours, we just take it as, okay, ours is not that good, but anyways, it's reassuring.
Yeah, now we're on our third season and we have, 57 episodes. Yeah. So quite a lot.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Was it at any point, I just keep thinking that your content is really personal. You're talking about your own lives, your own children, your own families from your perspective. Was that natural from the beginning? Were you comfortable sharing?
I guess in the beginning, we were just thinking that it's just me and Tompa talking. Because on a podcast, you can't really see your demographics or you can't really see the listeners. So it's just me and Tompa talking. And then after a few tens of episodes, we started, you know, get really, you know, nice messages from, you know,
people that we didn't know.
Yeah, people who we didn't know. And then we started thinking, and people are really, you know, listening to this. So I guess it's kind of okay quality and so on. But you don't really think about the personal stuff so much when you're just sitting here and talking.
One of the kind of guiding principles and the kind of the North Star or the value proposition of our podcast is that dads should talk about family life too, and also other than drunk in sauna, you know, and other stuff than, you know, life is shit after kids.
Yeah,
you know, because that's the usual way, and I know that 99% of the time when people when like our friends talk, like how things are hard now with kids and with families and with kind of responsibility, they don't actually mean it. It's just something that people say, and so we kind of wanted to start sharing stuff, you know, almost sober for anybody who would listen.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the idea behind the podcast.
Yeah, because I think if you're, you know, trying to preach about let's talk more, let's us dads talk more, you can't really think about I can't share. I guess you just need to. Definitely. And then at the same time, of course we think how much we're gonna share and what we're gonna share. Not all, except we're not sharing our kids' names, for example. So yeah. We're just saying, because I got two boys and Tompa has two girls.
Yeah.
So we're just saying the older and the younger.
Yeah.
Boy or girl, which is, I guess it's just we talked about it when we started and then just stick with it.
Yeah. I think there's such a need for what you guys are doing, and I think everybody would agree that women talk much more.
Yeah, I think
with
so.
Each other, and you know, we have these sort of in-depth conversations about every single little small thing, and we kind of go over them and come to conclusions and support each other. And I suppose it hasn't been quite in the same way there for dads.
Yeah,
And it's very true what you say, that there's a very typical stereotype of kind of a dad conversation. And it's great to hear that so much else exists, which obviously you knew that did, but I mean to hear it and have it in a podcast format is really excellent.
Yeah, because I think when a dad says, when someone asks, is everything okay? And the dad says, yeah, it's all right. I think there's a lot more behind that than just okay.
Yeah.
You know, men just don't talk.
And yeah, well, that's the stereotype anyway.
Yeah,
There's a lot. Well, there's a lot to that stereotype. I feel like it's a very the stereotype of a dad would be strong, silent type, not really bothering to talk that much, maybe even absent.
Yeah.
And that's I don't know. I'm not quite sure if that is what fatherhood today is like.
No, I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't say so. That is an old mold, I would say, you know, we are on a verge of kind of our generation is on a verge of kind of breaking that down. We had in our podcast we had this family psychologist What's her name? Does the Super Nanny for Finnish TV program and
Pia Penttala.
Yeah, Pia Penttala. And she was like, okay, well, our kind of our 30s, 40s, the dads who are 30s, 40s at the moment, or like our generation are the kind of the first ones to really break out of the kind of the silent, broody dad kind of strong. I'll take care of everything, and but I don't actually really take care of the kids kind of type.
Yeah.
And you know, getting that from professional was like, okay, well, yeah, well, we are onto something here.
Yeah.
That's one of our most listened episodes.
It is.
Yeah.
She was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, interested to hear as well what your partners thought of it when you started doing this. I mean, I that came to my mind straight away. Ooh, what did they say?
I've been greatly encouraged at home. To this, and actually my wife comes up with a lot of our topics as well. And is the best critic as well, because she listens to every episode, and also there are some negatives, like you shouldn't have said that, or how would you paint that picture like you did, and that kind of thing. But you know, that also gives a very real kind of mirror for what we are doing. You know, if I try to paint a too rosy picture of our family life, she always comes to me and says, like, hey, well, you better correct this in the next episode. Because,
And we have. Well, my wife actually hasn't listened to all our episodes yet. So, but it's the same. She really encouraged me to do it and understands that it's kind of a therapeutic us to sit down weekly and talk to each other about life and family. And like Tompa said, it's there's some stuff at home that she will tell me that it didn't really go that well, like you said on the podcast, but then at the same time it's because the way we do our podcast is just we tell it how we actually remember it. How we felt or remember it, and then we just talk. And then you might go home and think about, hey, it didn't actually go that like I said, but that's how I felt.
That's really funny that you should say that, but I couldn't agree more. That you things often don't go the reality is not the same as the sort of memory you have of what happened, even if it was just yesterday.
And there are also nice kind of positives that I didn't get at first, like my mother-in-law listens to it. And then she might send me a message saying, like, okay, now I kind of get you.
That's brilliant.
That's amazing.
Not even you, but now I might even get how kind of modern dads think about, you know, raising kids. Why are you like that with your kids? Like, I've always thought that, but you know, now I get the answer. That's really nice. Also makes me a bit wary of like what we do here.
Hits you in the face sometimes, the reality.
Yeah, but the funny thing is that even though our podcast is mainly meant for men, but still, if we look at our demographic, it's only 60% of men. So there's 40% of women who are listening to dads. And try to understand how we think about things.
Well, that's precisely it. I mean, that's what makes it so interesting for us, and that's why we're here today. Because you never kind of know until you have that sort of conversation. You can only draw conclusions, and then you kind of fall back on stereotypes and all of that, but there's so much more.
And a lot of the things that happen to sort of shut childbirth, behind closed doors, it happened sort of simultaneously. You know, the man was on the other side of that closed door, where the woman might be, you know, weeks lying in bed on bed rest, and you'd barely see them. And that's sort of where, I don't know, would you say, Laura, that's sort of where a lot of the changes started to come from? A lot of fear started to grow from there, and a lot of separation. I think
from the process.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, it'd be interesting to hear your views on how that was from your perspective, when your partner was expecting, and I mean, we've been kind of doing a bit of reading and kind of trying to find out. And what we often hear is that fathers have felt somewhat sort of not fully welcome in the process or fully part of the process. Either.
Or heard.
Yeah, yeah, especially if something happens at birth. I mean, we've recently had conversations about moms not being heard at birth, so I can only imagine what it must be like for dad. It'd be interesting to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, yeah, there is a certain, obviously, kind of the system, and you know, society is more welcoming for dads expecting as well at the moment. So I kind of think that okay, we are lucky to be involved as much as we did during, or at least my perspective during both pregnancies my wife had, but still, like, a lot of the stuff is kind of designed to cater for the women. Obviously, you know, they carry the load. The men's load is just mental. Yeah. But as I've been listening to your podcast, this podcast, there's a lot they could do in the mental side as well. Kind of involve and inform and you know, listen whilst you know, expecting and at least when giving birth, there is a certain kind of expectancy of kind of, yeah, dads can handle this, all of this, you know. Okay, everything went fine with us, so there was no kind of extra horror stories of me being in a room like totally not knowing what's happening, but I kind of feel that if there would have been an emergency, obviously during labor or during the pregnancy, even if something went wrong, I'm quite sure that nobody would have really noticed that how I was feeling.
Yeah, because our first pregnancy didn't really go as planned, but still, you know, being there, seeing kind of what happened, and then being on the guidelines or the sidelines, I mean. It just, there wasn't, you know, there was nobody asking me how I am, or it's kind of fine, but then at the same time, because my wife had it took 18 hours the first birth, so I was laying on the floor, which was a bit cold, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just laying on the floor and trying to get a shut eye for an hour or so, but still, you know. The whole mental part that Tompa said, it's, you know, we could do a lot more, but then when you're in that situation, I can't really, you know, I don't know what to do more, because you can't really do anything. You're just there, and how to support. Do more.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I'm just from the top of my head, I think, you know, if we start by small things, like literally asking the dad how they're doing, if there's anything they need.
Yeah.
Because it's you know, in many ways as much their process as it is the mother's. So I think little gestures and signals could possibly help quite a lot.
I agree. Situation. Yeah.
Yeah. We were talking earlier a few episodes ago with midwife Marie, who was talking about how at this one hospital they started asking women, so how do you think your baby is growing in your belly? And that's where I feel absolutely astonished that we're only just there. It's incredible. It's 2021 and we're only asking women.
How do they think? Everything's going. Amazing. That's amazing.
It is.
But then I think if you think about dads, I guess they should ask also the dad how they think the mom is doing, because they should know their spouse.
Yeah, that's a very
important. And they can see a lot more than the people around her that don't really know her.
Yeah.
So the dad could give you a lot more information about how she's doing.
Yeah.
If they would just ask.
Yeah, and also during pregnancy, the future moms are not the most reliable persons.
Yep. I agree.
It's a wild time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very true. But yeah, that's a fantastic point. Is there anything that now you look back and you've had your kids and those experiences, is there anything that you wish you would have known going into it? That
you did you know? Do you feel like you knew enough?
I don't know.
Do we know enough?
Yeah. I don't think you ever can, know enough. Or I guess you can, but then at the same time, because everything is so new.
Mm.
At least when you think about your first child, it's the whole process is so new. You can't really prepare yourself for the whole thing.
Yeah.
I guess the whole,
I have good experiences. I think I think I always got the info that I needed. Maybe things, pieces of information weren't handed to me, but I was quite active going after knowledge. Mm. and everything went very well both pregnancies. So there were, but I can only assume that if there would have been some flaw, then it kind of would have started the process of I need more now. I really, really do need to actually be on board with this thing at the moment. So, but both births of my kids were quite peaceful and went as planned. So kind of, I really can't point what they could have done more.
Yeah, one of the scariest moments that I had during our first pregnancy was because our first child was wrong side up, or how do you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Breech.
Yeah. So they tried to turn him. That was way before the birth. And they, because, the situation was it looked like my wife was beat it down there, which is
actually I had the same thing now that you say it.
Yeah,
it was really violent.
Yeah, it was
trying to turn the baby around.
And then when you're in the room, you're just sitting on the side line again. You're just looking at what's going on, and then when you see, the doctor's face going white and seeing, now everything is not okay. And then everybody started, running around, and then nobody didn't say anything. Of course, didn't say anything because they just needed to do something.
Mm.
What I realized was that the kid's heart rate went down.
Yeah.
And they were just preparing to, get him out.
Wow. And this was before the birth.
It was before the birth. And that was one of the scariest moments I had during the whole thing, and I was just sitting there. I was just looking because one of the doctors said to the nurse, "Go and get some blood." And I was like, "What the fuck is going on?" I was like, "What next?" Yeah. And then everything just went okay. It took 3 minutes, and everything was okay.
Yeah.
But then the scariest 3 minutes of sitting there, couldn't really do anything, and I didn't understand what was going on.
So my thing wasn't as scary. It was just kind of afterwards. It was really funny when they were trying to turn the baby around. it looked really violent. So these doctors going at my wife's belly like that, and kind of just manhandling
her.
It took all my willpower not to kind of get up and just punch them in the face and get the hell out of there.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And the second baby was also upside down, and we didn't want to turn around that was just,
let's just leave her alone.
Yeah. Just don't touch her.
But from my own experiences as well, would have been really helpful if there was a commentator in room. I know that's a lot to ask.
Yeah.
But a lot of the stuff happens very fast. And it's all unknown, and you can obviously notice that something is not right, but nobody will tell you what's going on because they haven't got the time.
But
that is a really, and those 3 minutes feel 3 hours.
Yeah,
seriously.
Definitely. And then because first kid he didn't turn, and then my wife tried to give a normal birth, but he almost came out, but then went back in. I'm not going to come.
Yeah.
So they went into, I don't know, what do you call it? The urgent C-section?
Yes.
Or what do you call it?
Yeah.
And then that happened fast. I was what's going on? She went out the door. I'm here. what's going on? And then someone came to me and, hey, you can come. Yeah, we're just, yeah, we're going. Mm-hmm. They're trying to take him out. I'm like, okay, sure. Yeah.
So you were there in the operating theater, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what was that like from a man's perspective? I gotta ask. I haven't been able to ask this question before.
On the C section?
Yeah.
I didn't really see. I was just near my wife where her head was.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything else but just flying blood on there was a curtain or so something, and then I was looking at the blood. I was like, yeah, there's something going on. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Don't look at it.
Yeah. Our both babies are born by C-section.
Yeah.
And but both of them have been really peaceful, really well planned. That I kind of knew that I've been surgered a lot. and I kind of knew that I need to know what's happened. So how's the actual process going to go? In that case, they told me exactly how it's gonna go, and when everything went fine, those both moments were like magically peaceful, and really, really like a good experiences, and I really think that that was really, really important, good to have a good start, a good info for starters, and then kind of get into the actual, because you get there when it's a planned C-section. You go there quite late. The woman's wheeled off earlier in order to prepare for the surgery but at that point, like it could be really like, okay, what I'm doing here? I'm in this room by myself, and they just took her away. Like, what's going on? But I was sane enough to ask, like, so how long it's gonna be, and how this is actually gonna go?
Yeah, but you have to ask anyway.
Yeah. Well, true.
Yeah. But I have to say, my own experience of the planned section with my last pregnancy was definitely a peaceful one.
Yeah.
And it's a nice feeling that you can kind of walk in there with your own feet, and you just kind of go like, right, let's have a baby, and that's it.
Yeah. Amazingly, it happens amazingly quick when once they get the
you know, knife going.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Yeah,
it's like seconds.
Yeah. The other scary part was when our first boy was born, the C-section, and because my wife didn't feel so good, so she didn't even look at him. So they just took me and the boy to the first room that we were in, and then just, you know, waited him and then washed, and then the nurse just gave him to me, and then just sit there. I'll be back in a sec.
Wow.
Okay, I'll be back in a sec. It took like 15 minutes, and that felt like 3 hours. I was just there sitting him, you know, under my shirt, and just thinking, what do I do now? Is this, you know, is he okay? Should I do something?
But were you left completely alone?
Yeah, I was there for like 15 minutes all alone with him.
But he was
under my shirt, and he was fine. He didn't cry or anything. I was like, I'll be back in a sec.
that they're just stunned. So I suppose they wouldn't be that screaming there yet.
Hours ripped on my chest hair. Really painful.
Yeah. But that was kind of scary, because I had no idea what to do.
Yeah.
Or if something happened, what should I do?
Yeah,
but,
you
know, of course, nothing happened, but still, it's a scary moment.
Yeah, well, kind of beautiful, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But still. I really think that part was the kind of, let's involve dads. I really felt better after. Okay, I was left by myself. It was quite tense in a way, but really peaceful at the same time, and kind of really assuring. Like, okay, we're leaving you with this new baby now.
Yeah,
she's on your chest, and you know, just, you know, I'm sure that if something would have gone wrong, you know, you would have gotten help.
Yeah.
But that part, like, okay, well, we need to stitch the kind of mom up, so let's give the baby to the dad, was much better option than kind of wheeling her off somewhere by herself.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So that I think that's that is a stuff that probably our fathers couldn't ever experience in a way. Yeah. They just took the baby away,
It was a very different experience back then. But hey, I suggest we take a small break and come back to discuss the mental transformation for fathers, which is becoming dad.
Yes.
Right, so we're back. Yes, I wanted to spend the other half of the podcast talking about the specific mental change that I suspect men go through as much as women do when they have a baby. When we kicked off the Female Changemakers series a few months ago, we published an article about matrescens, which is a woman becoming a mother, very same as adolescence, in terms of hormonal shifting and your body morphs into something quite different. And then there's that massive mental shift and transformation that happens that tends to take quite a while. So I just wanted to sort of talk to you guys about that. And you Tompa said earlier that this is the biggest shift that a man goes through.
Yeah, I really think so. first of all, like my personal experience, I wasn't so sure. I wasn't always sure that I want to have kids, and when it kind of happened, it really took some thinking of like okay, so what it would be like, and there was as said. About our kind of our experience and like how men should share and like the most of the info we got you get from like your maybe older friends or friends who have gotten kids is that you know this is kind of tough so it wasn't always very kind of clear to me that I want to have kids but then. Then, like through some kind of, you know, self, kind of, you know, some real hard thinking. Like I figured that maybe this is actually something that I want to do, but it still took me loads of time to become a dad. The first step probably was when you could start to see the belly growing. Then you kind of feel okay. Well, because other than that, it was just like, well, okay, she can't drink now, but everything else is, and she might feel a bit bad some mornings, but also evenings and during the day. But those are the implications you get, and there is no kind of visual or kind of emotional bond yet.
Mm.
Yeah. And then it's kind of started to when the belly started to grow then it kind of starts to develop through and well, you know, but I don't know if you're ever ready for it to be a dad. somebody else might have a different experience, but it took me a long time.
Yeah, I guess you're not. But I remember the first feeling that I had that I am going to be a dad or I am a dad in a moment was the first ultrasound when you really see the baby in the belly and you can hear the heartbeat and everything. Mm. That's the moment that I remember that the life values kind of, you know, switched from being, because you're used to taking care of yourself, and then of course your spouse, you're just living your life, and then when the baby comes, you see that I saw the first ultrasound. It just switches so that I'm not the most important thing in the world anymore. I'm here for, you know, taking care of the kid, so that everything with him or her is okay. Yeah. So that's the feeling that I remember. That where I felt the first time that I'm, you know, going to be a dad, and this is going to be awesome and so scary and different at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was definitely something that wasn't talked about before having kids. I wasn't prepared for that sort of how would you describe it? Just this kind of fear even of your life having changed so profoundly, and you kind of have these sort of panicky feelings. You don't recognize yourself and everything. You're just kind of completely lost. And I didn't feel like I was prepared for that mental change that happens when you have your first baby. I mean, the second one, you know what's coming, and you're already kind of used to your role as a parent, and you've got dependents. But with the first one, definitely, for me, it was a very long process. Like for Tompa as well, I certainly wouldn't say I became a mom the very first day, but it was a long mental kind of development process of starting to understand how life had changed.
I think there is much more to that than kind of the kind of, because we tend to kind of stress the how your life's gonna change, kind of monetary values and how you can't go out at night. Mm. But the mental change is actually massive. Yeah. When you get the fear, as you described, like you get it, like, oh my God, it's really, really, it's so much more than okay, now you can't go out to party when you want to. Yeah. Like, it's just so much more. You're totally, totally in kind of, you're responsible for this little person unforeseeable future. Like, it doesn't go, it's not just like if you return or when like,
then and there you don't really think about, I can't go out now every time I want or you know, 3 times a week. You don't really care.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of goes out the window.
Yeah.
But the kind of the discourse seems to be around those topics, like how life's gonna physically change.
Yeah, it's quite maybe even trivialized in a way where motherhood and becoming a mother is taken just more seriously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a true point actually. Yeah. Yes, and men's conversations are supposed to evolve around not being able to go out with the boys.
I feel like for men, whereas women change to become mothers, men are sort of, in our societies, we kind of think that they're still in the locker room.
Yeah.
Only now they're dads.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, true.
Whereas, obviously that's not the case. And interesting to kind of pick your brains about what that mental shift feels like, what you went through
we actually have a episode we talked about with Tompa about the discussions of how your life is gonna change when you come to dad. It doesn't really, we had a discussion that it changes, yeah, but then at the same time, is it bad that changes?
Yeah,
you can't really say it's gonna be different, but then you can't really think about it that it's going the wrong way. I think it's going to the right way.
I was always like hell bent to prove everybody that I could still do the stuff that I did before kids.
Yeah,
but now just be able to, you know, be a dad at the same time as well.
Yeah, it's only a matter of discussing with your spouse that I can go out and then she can go out and we can do the same stuff that we did before. It just takes a bit more planning.
Yeah. And that was, I'd be the same as Tompa, that I'd still want to hold on to things that make me an independent human being, and I'd want to continue those things in life. Really, it's the... But it's like, it's this mental stuff that happens that is not really discussed.
Yeah.
And I feel like also in your relationships, a bit more physical, did your relationships with your friends, with your childhood family, did those change?
I think I've said before that some of my friends just disappeared when I had my our first kid.
Yeah. Mm.
It just happened that they thought that now when I have a family, I can't do the stuff that I did before.
Mm. Yeah.
And I haven't seen those guys since, to be honest. But I've seen the guys that are around us, you know, now.
It's weird though, isn't it? I mean, I think all of us who are parents here can vouch for the fact that some people do change. when they have kids, and some people completely disappear off the planet, and you kind of never see them again. It's really weird. It brings out something in people, and people take parenting in different ways and start behaving quite differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I many times I think that's also kind of stereotyping. Like, okay, well, now Emily's had a kid, so he can't do this stuff. You know, maybe he would like to go play football still. Yeah. he hasn't changed as a human being. Yeah. He's just added to his life in a way.
Yeah.
I made a lot of effort, put a lot of effort in kind of being able to be socially around like my friends still after having kids. Maybe I feel like my relationship with my own family, like my parents and family, it probably changed a bit because I was a bit of an odd one out. My younger brother got two kids way before me and that kind of thing. So I think it made my relationship with my kind of relatives a bit kind of more peaceful. Like I wasn't I couldn't do the stuff like be totally like do wild stuff anymore in a way. Kind of go move somewhere just. On an bat of an eyelid or anything like that. Yeah. maybe that kind of made it more peaceful for our.
Yeah.
But if you really think about it, I think us as dads, we kind of need our, you know, of course, you know, women also. But if we think about dads, we need the same, you know, we need to go out with the guys and have the life away from the family. Still, I guess we need it even more now than before. If you think about it, probably, because our wives were just at the cottage last weekend, so we were home with the kids.
So you're all the weekend, right?
Yeah. So, but I think that's the way it should go. That you know, women should go and men should go, and it's a matter of just like I said, it's just scheduling things.
Very important still have your own life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your own career and your own friends.
And I love how what you've just said sort of points out so obviously that the experiences that women go through are actually the same experiences that men go through as well, even though we haven't really talked about them that much. It's the same sort of isolation from some of your friends. Yeah. It happens to men as well.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. We've been talking about a lot of these stereotypes that seems to be very persistent around fatherhood and what fathers are like. I'd like to ask you, what are your thoughts on breaking those? I mean, obviously, I think you're already doing that by doing your podcast and content and all of that, telling your stories. But is there anything else that you can think of that we can use to start breaking these old stereotypes and seeing fatherhood as it is?
What could be a kind of good starting point? I think time will only mend the kind of, you know, because stuff is discussed more today than it was yesterday, true. And it will be discussed more tomorrow than it is today. That is the most important thing, to keep the discussion alive and you're not kind of, and also, but also in your own thinking, like. Sometimes I catch myself kind of falling into those old stereotypes myself, and then I kind of beat myself up about like why should I always be the kind of the strong one of the family? It's just a stereotype. Actually, my wife's a lot stronger mentally than me. kind of sharing and talking and that kind of thing. Like everybody should do it as much as is comfortable for them, just to, you know, open up. Yeah. I think there's a lot of popular culture that will support this cause.
Yeah, and I think us as men also need to, you know, educate men.
Yeah,
that's what we're doing with our podcast, and keep, like Tompa said, the discussion alive and just keep talking, and then hope that other men will start talking also.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I'd be interested to hear from our perspective, a maternity brand wanting to go into sort of collaboration with dads and wanting to be there for dads and engaging with dads. What would your advice be to us? How we can best help you in all of this?
I guess just, you know, have an open dialogue with men also. Just think, you know, discuss what men think. I don't know, it's kind of hard to say, but, you know, I don't know, Tompa, do you know?
I don't know. I've been trying to think about it, and I left my notes at home. I got this, questions beforehand, but I can't remember what I put in this one.
This was a bonus one, so yeah, I wouldn't have an answer
for it. Include dad content as well.
Yeah.
Make maternity stuff approachable for men as well.
Mm.
Quite often it is, you know, when, you know, let's say buying something, it might be that dad actually goes to pick it up or kind of, you know, that, so it's a bit like, you know, buying lingerie for your wife.
Mm.
Those places need to be welcoming for men as well in order for that thing to work. Other than that, it's just too scary. So kind of include stuff about, you know, and inform, like, what is this for?
Mm.
Like, okay, so this is a breast pump. What does it do actually? Mm. Men, you know, like to know stuff.
I agree, because when we were expecting, I was trying to figure out what we need.
Mm.
And then my wife gave me a job that your job is to find the, you know, the trolleys and the, you know, the big stuff.
Yeah.
And then I spent hours and hours and trying to find and figure out which one is the best and which one is the most value for the money and so on. And like I said, I spent hours and tens of hours trying to figure out things I didn't really understand anything about.
Yeah.
So maybe, yeah. My advice is, like Tompa said, trying to make the content so also for men.
Yeah. And this is precisely what we've been thinking about. And we'd like to create a guide at some point from our side, but we just find that it's so important that we do it together with dads, kind of seeking your kind of feedback at this point, because that just forms the foundation for what we're trying to do here, because obviously we're not dads ourselves, so we can't speak for them.
You know, the buying guide for dads.
buying guide for dads.
You know.
Slipping a few expensive handbags and things.
Why not? If you have stuff that, you know, a man can, you know, think that I couldn't really think about, that this could be a good, you know, buy for my wife.
Mm.
And then if you explain what this is for on the guide or whatever you want to call it, I might buy it if I really understand what it's for.
Yeah, of course.
A curious note, would you rather have sort of like a shopping list, just say on paper, or go browse on, say, like a maternity website, if you wouldn't have to go anywhere?
I think I would prefer the list, at least as a starting point.
Yeah.
To have a list where this is what you need to have before the baby comes home. This is the list.
Yeah.
So buy these, and even though you don't have them all, still make the list that this is what you should buy.
Yeah.
And then I know you guys have one of those maternity belts or whatever you call it for women.
Yeah.
That's brilliant, because I've seen your ads on Instagram.
It's good for, you know, dad bods.
Tompa is saying that I should buy one, but still, it's one of those products that if man would really know what it's for, and they see the ad, even though women don't see it, they might buy it for their wife, or even just tell them that, hey, I've seen this ad and this is what it does.
Yeah. Yeah, so fairly straightforward information, but yeah. Compiled together with dads.
Yeah, bringing them into the information that we already have for yeah. mums.
Men are stupid. Just tell us what we should buy.
That's just right. That's stereotyping.
I'm not sure that
that's stereotyping. Sorry,
that's not
sorry.
True.
Yeah, I think that's what we need to get away from.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I think that's pretty much all from us today. We've had a fantastic discussion with you guys, so thanks very much for being here with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure. And your fantastic podcast is worth listening as well. So we'll be back next week with a special guest discussing female changemaker topics once again. So until next time. See you.
Bye.